This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we're off. Welcome to the show for Thursday, February 9th. 2017, a five-game slate on Thursday, coming off a monster 12-game slate on Wednesday, really wild roller coaster Magic Mountain type night, ended pretty gloriously for myself. Hopefully you guys made some money as well. A lot of you probably went to bed, again, because we had the couple late games, especially with Golden State Chicago was late, although that was a massive blowout, and then we had Sacramento, who the God, by the way, just a little heads up, it's our 4:15 a.m., getting a super late start, because it was such a crazy night, and also this prepping for the show today took a long time as well, even though it's only a five-game slate, there's a lot to recap, but Sacramento-Boston, that was the other game of the night, and that, a lot of guys were decent ownership percentages were in that game, so you may have went to bed thinking you were doing well. You wake up, maybe you didn't do so well, or vice versa. You went to bed thinking, oh, not a great night, and you wake up and it's a glorious night. And for me, if I would have went to bed, and then I would have woke up, and it would have been like sunshine and rainbows for everybody. That's part of the fun and part of the cruelness of if either you have exposure in that late game hammer or you don't have exposure. But with that said, welcome to the show. I'm the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. You can also go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, if you want to contact me there. And yeah, so before we start the show, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Very important that you do this. Take seconds. Do it while you're listening to the show. I did it myself. I timed myself. It took 1 minute and 3 seconds. Very easy to do. And I am not IT savvy. So for all you guys, for all you millennials listening out there, or if you're not a millennial, you're still probably better than the judge when it comes to doing IT stuff. So it will take you a matter of a mere minute or less to do that. Also, when I tweet out the show, please retweet it for me. I know you're going to want to hit that like button. Try to catch yourself, catch your hand, midway down, touching at the computer screen, and instead hit the RT button. Send out that retweet whenever I do tweet out the show, because our goal is to expand the listeners, get more listeners, get more followers, which, again, the last couple of weeks, we've done a great job, guys. Some of the biggest numbers in terms of downloads for the shows that we've ever had, which is really good stuff. Slowly, the DFS community is starting to take notice as more and more of us, the people in chambers, more and more people listening to the show, are starting to dominate and make a lot of money and beat down all those suckers listening to Roto Grinders, Fantasy Labs, on all those other sites and all those boring podcasts that put people to sleep. Don't give you proper advice on what contest to enter. Don't tell you anything about strategy. Are just basically sponsors of FanDuel and DraftKings, sleeping with the enemy. Not this show. So yes, please retweet it for me. Also, as I announced, yesterday and a couple of days last week, I did join the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, and this is beautiful for us guys because, I mean, we saw tonight. I mean, the amount of crazy things that happened tonight, this could be a 17-hour show. I'm going to try to keep it to an hour and 15 minutes or so but there's just so much that goes on every night. And the dynamic of a particular team and then the dynamic for DFS, it just changes with the snap of a fingers. I don't know if you guys can hear me at home, but I snap my fingers. And, I mean, with Jabari Parker going down for the Bucks, that changes that whole roster now, essentially, if he did tear his ACL. So now that I am part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, as I mentioned yesterday, we have podcasts for every team. So if you guys want me to bring on a host of someone who hosts a podcast for a particular team, let me know. I asked you guys yesterday, just tweet at me or let me know your thoughts. So far, the leaders in the clubhouse is probably the Pistons. I was pretty surprised. I got about 10 people who wanted to hear the Pistons. And then I got about, maybe one or two or three other, three votes for other teams. But let me know, and we'll see about getting one of those hosts on if you guys want it. Well, the feedback wasn't tremendous for that, so I'm not going to do it, unless I get, a legitimate amount of feedback for a team. But, you know, I wouldn't mind getting someone who knows the Pistons, because watching Reggie Jackson get 20 minutes again on Wednesday night, that would be interesting. Obviously, we talk about Rick Carlisle and his weird rotation all the time. So someone who the Dallas Mavericks podcast, what is Jason Kidd going to do now? He's already got four big men with that atrocity of Hawes and Henson and Monroe and Hibbert. And now he's got maybe Jabari Parker out. Chris Middleton's back. Giannis looks like crap. He's a freaking tin man all of a sudden. So I did a roundtable with the person who's going to host the Bucks podcast. That would be very interesting as well. How about Brooklyn, guys? Giving away minutes like cars. That would be a fun person to have on as well. So there's just, you know, if you guys, that's something you want, let me know. I will kind of let you guys guide me in that direction. If you would like a consultation with the judge, I got a decent amount of requests in the last couple of days, so I'm getting booked up fast. And as you guys know, time is an issue for me. How long can I last? I mean, I love doing the podcast. I love doing the consultations, but it's just a matter of how much time do I have? Also, when am I going to crash? At some point, I'm pretty sure during the middle of a podcast, my head is just going to fall. It's going to hit the computer screen. I mean, I'm just going to go into like a six-month slumber, a six-month hibernation. So I'm going doing these as long as I can, but at some point, I'm going to have to cut something out. So I do think if you want a consultation, I would recommend you kind of hit me up now to schedule time, because I don't know how long I can continue to do them. And that's if you need help with roster construction, what contest to enter, two of the most important things in DFS that no one talks about. And man, it's so crucial. If you're playing if you have a beautiful lineup and you're just entering in the wrong contest, you could be costing yourself thousands of dollars. I'll also go over, obviously, my favorite research techniques, favorite websites, how to track and analyze data. A lot of strategy talk, difference between cash games, single entry, GPPs, and if we have time, analyzing some of your own lineups as well. So if you want that, let me know. Also, our lovely sponsor, the app Draft, please download it. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. And this, you know, I keep saying this, and you're probably tired. Maybe you fast forward the first 5 minutes of the show because you don't want to hear me keep repeating this. But it is important that you sponsor the show. If you keep wanting the judge to continue having DG Courtroom episodes, it does make a difference if you can support the show in any way. And one of the best ways is helping support the sponsor. So if you can download that app and use the promo code DFBPOD, it really does mean a lot. And if you download the app, you don't know where to put the promo code in, just email me or tweet at me. Let me know your username. You will get the deposit bonus. The sponsor will be happy with me. And all will be right with the world. Except if you played Kelly Oubre. We'll get to that later. I don't want to give a tease. We'll get to that. Freaking Kelly Oubre. Ugh. Anyway. Also, as you guys know, I taught you a nice little legal term yesterday. Got some interesting feedback. Some of you were not a fan of learning legal jargon. Others of you, I think, really enjoyed it. Remember, you have an affirmative duty. That was the key, the new word from yesterday. I will not bore you with a new word for today. I think that word still applies. You have an affirmative duty. Remember, what does that mean? Deals with circumstances under which the defendant, which is you. You are a defendant here, my friends. You owe a special duty of care to the plaintiff, and the plaintiff is your friends. So you have an affirmative duty to stop them listening to some garbage podcast and bring them over to the judge. Bring them over to DG Courtroom. Let them make some money too. Also, let them have some fun, because if they're playing DFS, sometimes it's just a grind. Sometimes, you know, remember, this should be fun playing, building lineups, listening to the podcast, doing the research. All that should be fun. And some days it can get to be a grind. It really can. Especially, and if you're listening to some of those other podcasts, not only is it misleading information, but it just puts you to sleep. So why not let them also be entertained and get useful information from the judge? So please, if you can, for the show, that would be a very good thing. All right, Chambers for Wednesday night. What is Chambers, you may ask? Get that question all the time. We run one tournament on DraftKings, about 50 people, three of them on FanDuel, 20 people each. Also, we have the lovely app Draft, where we have Chambers, we're in the middle of a seven-day bracket challenge, 128 people, which kicked off Wednesday, down to the round of 64 on Thursday. Entry fee. Remember, if you enter that, let me know. I want to know how you're doing in that as well. But then we also, for FanDuel and DraftKings, it basically just some of the best players in DFS get together and we compete against each other. And also we learn from each other as well. Because a great way that you can get better at DFS, go in chambers and look at some of the lineups. You can look at my lineup every night, because obviously a lot of nights I will not win chambers, but there's a reason. Like I put GPP lineups in there. And if you want to see what a GPP lineup is, go look at my lineup. And if you have questions, ask me why I played a certain player, because there's always a reason. Or go look at some of the guys who are the head of the power rankings. You can look at their lineups. Those guys, you can really use chambers not only to win money, but also as a learning tool. So for Wednesday, the winners in FanDuel were the number two ranked player, Jeremy, who got knocked out by MG Fresh last week. MG Fresh is on up, just a legendary run right now. MG Fresh finished fourth, had another great night on Wednesday. But Jeremy, who's the number two ranked player in the power rankings, put up a great score of 358 and that's his 11th win of the year in chambers, which is unheard of, and his 19th cash. So congrats to him. Just the guy's been playing just steady all year long. It's Wags also won a chambers, his third win of the year, 8th cash, and Super Fargo put up a 354. That's his third win of the year, his 6th cash. 12 game slates, so many players to choose from. Remember, the slate dictates what we do. What was the 12 game slate? It was basically like New York. Too many players to choose from. Too many girls out there. Too many guys out there, if you want to go back to the dating analogy I used yesterday. But so what does that mean? That means it's going to be on a large slate. You're going to have a monster score. There's going to be monster scores, because out of 1,000 players, there's going to be a handful of guys that go nuts on a 12-game slate. It's bound to happen. So for DraftKings, the judge took that one down. I was able to have a really good night on DraftKings, even though I barely play DraftKings, but I put up a score of about 347. Remember, DraftKings is only 8 players, so that was a monster score. I was able to take it down. But congrats to CK Stevenson, 84, who took second with a nice score of 320, and SB Wolf, 16, with a score of 316. Congrats to all three of you guys, or all two of you, who took second and third. All right, real quickly regarding my night, because I got a lot of questions about it. First of all, whoever was following with me on Twitter, going through the glory hunt with me, with a little late night sweat. So, honestly, that's part of the reason why I like DFS, doing the podcast, building the community that we have here, why I have chambers. It's just a lot of fun to interact with you guys. And obviously, if I was just sitting here alone with me and the bailiff, he wasn't too excited about my glory hunt and the chance to make a lot of money. But it was just with you guys interacting with a lot of you guys on Twitter, and I know you guys were following with me. Yeah, it made it a lot more fun. So I was able to have a good night, and it was funny because on FanDuel I had a lot of Kelly Oubre. That did not pan out. So my night on FanDuel wasn't that great overall. But on DraftKings, I didn't play a lot. I played on FanDuel, I played about maybe $300 or so, and on DraftKings I played 10 measly dollars. $10. That's it. I played chambers, which is $2, and then I entered two $4 large GPPs. And if you've done consultations with me, you know how I feel about large GPPs. I mean, one had 132,400 people in it, and the other had 8,800 people. I had a really crazy day just in general on Wednesday in terms of my real job, my attorney job, real work. It was just not, errands. And as I mentioned yesterday, the slate dictates what I do. This was a monster slate. You had to do a ton of research to be properly prepared. And quite honestly, my research time that I had, I spent it researching FanDuel. And if you're playing on both sites, FanDuel and DraftKings are different worlds. They really are, because the salaries are entirely different. And everything is based on your salary. Someone can be a great play on FanDuel and not a great play on DraftKings. And vice versa. Also, as you guys know, you get the Donkey Kong bonuses on DraftKings. The scoring is also different. So it really is. If you're playing on multiple sites, you do have to be aware of all those differences, and have the proper time. And on super large slates with 12 game slates, it was difficult. So I did not have a lot of time to play DraftKings. I went over there, I built my lineup, and quite honestly, then I was going to spend the majority of my time on FanDuel, because I had 30 times the amount of money on FanDuel that I had on DraftKings, if not more. So I built my DraftKings lineup, and after looking at the lineup, remember, when I build a lineup, especially for tournaments, my only goal is to take the tournament down. For me, there's no reason to play a tournament unless that's your goal. If your goal is to cash, play a 50-50, play a head-to-head, play a double up. You really have to be willing to take some certain risks to take down a tournament. So I built a lineup. And remember, I always shoot for about three players who are going to be less than 10% to take down a tournament. And there's a reason why three players are going to be less than 10%. That's because on paper, they're not great plays. And those are the risks that you have to take to take down a tournament. And just a lot of us don't want to do that. But for me, so what I did, I played Kyle Korver in DraftKings. He was 2.2% owned. Now, why did I do that? First of all, you get the Donkey Kong King. You get the Donkey Kong bonus for three pointers, which I wanted to take advantage of. Also, Shumpert was out, so I knew that Korver was going to get some extended minutes. And for me, it was worth taking a shot at. And I also knew that he'd be under, I guessed around 4%. So 2.2%, that was tremendous. I also played Andrew Wiggins. If you've been listening to the show, he gets a nice bump now that Zach LaVine is out, and with the minutes have been an issue there. Him and Towns are really the only safe guys I like. Wiggins is always a tournament guy, only a one-trick pony. He was 5% owned. I jumped on that. I also played Goran Dragic, who was 7% owned. I like that play because Deion Waiters was going to be out. I also played two other guys. I played Melo because I loved his matchup against the Clippers. And remember, I love targeting guys who are coming off of bad games. And then I also played Darren Collison because Darren Collison got it, which I mentioned on the show yesterday, got a really nice bump with Cousins being out. And he was only 11% owned on DraftKings. I actually thought that one was going to be a little bit higher. So I've kind of had five guys who were somewhat hovering around between 2 and 12% owned. So everyone went off for me. Every one of those guys had dream lovers. Everyone in there. Goran Dragic was the only guy who held me back a tiny bit. And he still played okay. And that was just because the Bucks didn't show up and Miami blew them out. But so to me, I built that lineup. I knew I had less than 10%, and I knew I had up to about 5% of five guys, maybe under 15%. So to me, I didn't build a single entry tournament lineup, in my opinion, and it wasn't the cash game lineup, clearly. So I didn't have a lot of time. I needed to get back to FanDuel. So I threw in some large GPPs. Because that was the lineup that I built. Now, did I expect Kyle Korver to go nuts and hit 8 3-pointers, go 8 for 9 from 3-point range and get over the almost like 40 FanDuel points or 40 DraftKings points? Of course not. Did I think Melo and Schroeder and Collison and all those guys were going to go have as good nights as they had? No, of course not. I mean, there's a lot of luck goes into it. But the first part is you got to be able to build the right kind of lineup and enter it in the right kind of tournament. And so I was confident that I built the right kind of lineup that's meant for that type of lottery ticket type tournament. And I was able to take third place out of 8,800 people, and 53rd place out of 132,400 people. So I was able to make about a grand off those lineups. Now, I had many people telling me if you would have entered that in the single entries and all that, I would have made what 70, 80, 90 grand. I had some of my pro friends, obviously wanted to tease me and joke with me. And that was fine. Would it have been excellent if I were to enter that and play the same amount on DraftKings that I did in FanDuel? Sure. But my response to that also would have been, if I entered that in a single entry tournament, I probably would have changed the lineup and I wouldn't have used that particular lineup, because to me, that was a lineup that was meant more for those lottery ticket type tournaments, which I normally don't play, but just because of time, that dictated what I played on DraftKings. So that's a little bit about, what went into my DraftKings thinking and why I didn't have it in single entry tournaments and why I only played, a small amount and blah, blah, blah. But overall, I mean, if you take $10 and you turn it into $1,000, hell, who wouldn't take that? So me and the bailiff, we'll go to Petco tomorrow. We're going to buy everything in the store. And it was a glorious night and it was a lot of fun. All right. Dream killers. I mean, 12-game slate, we could do a whole show on Dream Killers, a whole show on Dream Lovers. Let's start with the Bucks. Giannis, Bucks got beat by Miami because Miami cannot lose right now. Bad day for the Bucks in general because Jabari Parker went down and it looked like an ACL tear. I'm no doctor, but his knee just gave out. Hopefully it's just a sprain or something, but we'll see. He's getting an MRI. So if you played Jabari Parker, obviously a Dream Killer, but not all his fault. Let's just hope he's not out for the year and he's okay. You played Giannis. He's been bad for about 2.5 weeks. He had one good game against Phoenix, playing way up in pace. Other than that, though, he's been a mess. He hasn't looked right. There was one, the person who hosts the podcast for the Bucks was at the game. I was asking her what the hell's wrong with him. She said it was more frustration. To me, he looks tired. He's taking it. You know, he's only what 22 years old, 21 years old. You know, he has to carry that entire team on his back. So I'm not really sure what his deal is these days, but he's struggling and he's almost unplayable and unwatchable. I mean, it was fun. I mean, and this is how DFS and basketball things change so fast, man. Remember a few months ago, Porzingis and Giannis, they were both playing tremendous. And then Porzingis kind of fell off a little bit. Giannis was still great though. And now he's a mess. And he's, so it'll be interesting because without Jabari, he's going to see a monster usage, a bump in usage, but will he be able to take advantage? I mean, someone's going to have to take advantage of Jabari's shots. I mean, is it going to be Michael Beasley? Oh, that's going to be disgusting. Is it going to be Teletovic? Ultimately, hopefully it'll be Chris Middleton after the All-Star break when he can play some big minutes if he gets healthy. But it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with the Bucks going forward. That's for sure. My soul crusher of the night, thank God I didn't have him in the DraftKings, but I had him in FanDuel a lot, was Kelly Oubre. And you hear me all the time on the show talk about what's my favorite stat. Say it, say wherever you are, scream it out. Wherever you're at work, you're walking your dog, your wife's yelling at you, wherever you are right now. Usage. My favorite stat in the world is usage rate. You watch Kelly Oubre play, it was well on display why that's my favorite stat. He played almost, it was, first of all, that Washington-Brooklyn game went to overtime. Washington didn't even show up. They sleptwalked through the entire game. They were so lazy. They were a mess. They still beat Brooklyn in overtime because Brooklyn is, you know, puts out four D-League players and Brook Lopez. But Kelly Oubre played like close to 35 minutes, I think. Maybe 30. Oh, and now he was over 30. And he had, I think, 0 actual points. I think he was 0 for 5 from the floor. And he looked like the worst basketball player in the world. It looked like it was his first time playing. And this is why sometimes when you're watching the games, you wouldn't believe it unless you're watching it. Like if you look at his box score, you might be like, how'd that happen? But it was even worse than his box score because it looked like that was the first time he'd ever picked up a basketball. He couldn't dribble. I mean, a couple shots go in and out. Maybe that affected his confidence. But also, he went easily 15, 20 possessions on offense without touching the ball. Now, did I still think it was – would I change things if I could go back to 6:52 whenever we heard Markieff Morris was out and put him in the lineup? No. I that's the thing with me. I wouldn't – in obviously, I would never play him in cash games. But for tournaments on this slate, I still thought it was a good move. I like when there's late news. I like adjusting my lineups late. I like taking and to take down tournaments, as you already heard me say in my DraftKings lineup, you have to be willing to take risks and to take chances. So I don't regret playing him one bit. You can't let the results dictate, you know, basically how you go about your DFS strategy going forward. Now, in terms of why I still think he was a good play, first of all, I've seen him play numerous times this year. Yes. Is he like a poor man's version of Otto Porter? Yes. Does he always have a low usage rate? Yes. But when is like the one time usage rate's not going to be a huge factor for me? It's going to be when you can get a guy dirt cheap. And he was basically the minimum on FanDuel. And playing Brooklyn. So you get monster up. Washington's playing way up in pace. The best pace really, really besides Phoenix and Denver that you can play. So I thought for sure he's going to get an extra 20 possessions at the minimum price. He's going to stumble, bumble, and fumble into some steals, into some rebounds, into a couple assists, into like 10 to 12 actual points. And a lot of those points are going to have to come easily on like fast breaks. And then he's probably going to make it like one or two three-pointers. Like how can he not? So if you just put that together, if he has a bad night, he should stumble into around 24 FanDuel points. And at that salary, that would have been great. And then he would have also allowed me to get in a LeBron, another star, another, you know, a Cousins if Cousins was playing, a Towns, whoever I wanted to. So remember, it's twofold. You get the cheap player, but then it also allows you to play a stud. So to me, totally worth the play. It just didn't work out, and that's going to happen in DFS. Occasionally, you'll get a guy who just decides that he doesn't know how to play basketball anymore. Now, it was if you're watching it, you were throwing your gavel, you were spitting at the TV, you were furious because it was infuriating to watch, but I don't regret the play at all. Steph Curry, if you went near that Golden State Chicago game, you were probably ended up pretty miserable. I think Durant ended up doing okay, but Butler was out. We knew that before lineup lock. We found out Wade after lineup lock. I was shocked. I knew MCW was going to be a decent ownership, but he was double the ownership of Collison. And that surprised me because without Butler playing, you knew it was going to be a blowout for the most part, even if Wade played. So I was a little surprised that MCW got as much love as he did. I understood he did have upside, so I didn't mind the play for tournaments at all. But I thought Collison was a much safer cash game play for sure. So that ownership was a little bizarre to me. But anyway, going back to Curry, also Klay Thompson, when I did the podcast yesterday, we thought Klay was questionable. Of course, he ended up playing because he never takes a day off. Geez, mourn your grandfather, Klay. Why did you have to show up? So Curry did not get a massive bump. Because Curry gets about a 9% usage bump when Klay is out. That did not happen. Curry was dreadful. I think 13 actual points. Like I don't even know if he had 20 FanDuel points. So it was a mess if you played him. MCW was less than 10 FanDuel points. That game was just a walking disaster. Golden State every day, ruining DFS one day at a time. Kevin Love, Dream Killer. That Indiana-Cleveland game was, I think, 132 to 117. And if you've been watching Cleveland play the last few weeks, month maybe, they play zero defense. They don't try defensively at all, including LeBron. He plays none. It's quite embarrassing, if you quite honestly. It's basically a layup line on both ends. I mean, every time Cleveland plays. So, they've had games with like a 250 over under. They've had two or three straight games or something like that with massive over unders. That should not even be legal in certain states. But so for Kevin Love to get around 30 FanDuel points or so, when he was somewhat similar in price to Blake Griffin, that ended up being not enough, especially when you have a 132 to 117 game. I mean, come on, Kevin Love. So a dream killer for him. Ty Lawson, he sprained his hamstring, and you know, he reminded me of back. I mean, he was, some of you probably weren't with me long enough to know, the original Tin Man were Harrison Barnes, Anthony Davis, and Ty Lawson. So, I had some good reminiscing times about Ty Lawson back when he was on Denver, but not all his fault with the hamstring. That sucks. He actually was playing well, and he got the start without Cousins, and he was on his way to smashing value. So that was too bad. And I did think he was a nice tournament play on this slate. TJ Warren, man, just not a good night for him. He could have been a soul crusher on this slate if you played him. Jay Crowder, a lot of the Boston guys didn't come through. Isaiah didn't come through. Jay Crowder. I don't know without Cousins if they just didn't show up. They thought it was going to be a cakewalk against Sacramento, and Sacramento came to play, and they got beat. I mean, it ended up being a blowout by Sacramento. It was pretty surprising. At least it was close until like the last six minutes in that game. Jokic, he's a dream killer because he put up 40. I just want to remind you guys, you got to look at real. You know, there's a difference between real life and DFS. Real life, he did great. He had a great game. But he's so expensive now. He's still 10K basically, at least on FanDuel. And he's got to give us close to 50 FanDuel points. And he gave us 40 FanDuel points. And when Blake Griffin was sitting there cheaper than Jokic, if you played Jokic over Blake Griffin, that probably made him a dream killer for you. And it wasn't good enough. I mentioned Isaiah Thomas. David Lee, if you've been playing David Lee, it might be time to get off that little canoe. I don't think it's a train anymore. I don't think it's good enough to be a boat. So it's small enough to be like a canoe. I would jump off. Only 14 minutes. The minutes have been on the decline lately. Speaking of minutes, D'Angelo Russell. I mean, Luke Walton. Yes, Detroit did get blown up by the Lakers. But Luke Walton, the only one he plays like 30 minutes every night is Brandon Ingram. Everyone else, I guess, he doesn't really care about developing. Russell got 23 minutes. More importantly, more surprisingly, Russell took two shots. He has like a 30% usage rate or close to that. So him taking two shots was mind-boggling. Soul crusher if you played D'Angelo Russell. Speaking of shots and minutes, Reggie Jackson. And this is why to have the podcast host of the Detroit Pistons would be interesting. He got 23 minutes and took five shots. He has like a 31% usage rate. What the hell is going on there? Ish Smith got 21 minutes. They're basically splitting minutes at this point. Yes, it was a blowout, but again, Reggie Jackson has not hit 30 minutes in like 2 weeks now. And it's a big issue. So he was in a good spot for tournaments. And if you played him, dream killer, soul crusher. Ricky Rubio, speaking of minutes, it's a theme, 21 minutes. When Levine went out, I thought he was going to be loving life. It has not worked out for him so far without Levine, even though they got a Minnesota got a nice win against Toronto at home. And the only ones I trust, though, from Minnesota are Towns and Wiggins now. And Wiggins is, like, almost becoming cash game playable. But everyone else is tournaments are bust. Tournaments are don't even touch them. I mean, Gorgui Dieng, the minutes are really in flux with him. Shabazz Muhammad maybe could become one of the most intriguing guys. Brandon Rush, he's starting but not getting a ton of minutes and not doing anything with the minutes. So maybe Shabazz Muhammad ends up being someone that we can use going forward. He had another good night, but Minnesota right now is, you know, normally we love Thibodeau because he gives everyone 40 minutes, all his starters 40 minutes, and that's not happening right now. So you got to be very wary of that. Dream Lovers. Of course we had Dream Lovers on a 12-game slate. Everyone, we had some salsa dancing going on in your living rooms if you played some or whatever dance of your pleasure. I can't really do any. I'm not a good dancer, by the way. I don't know if you guys can dance. I think at some point I want to take dance lessons. I was dating a girl, I think last year, and she took hip hop dance lessons, and I was always too embarrassed to go. Normally I'm a pretty confident guy, but like when it comes to something like that, yeah, I don't know, man. She loved it. I'm not a big dancer. I can't like salsa dance, can't polka dance, square dance, hip hop dance. But I was intrigued. It'd be a sneaky ninja move if the judge could like do some hip hop dancing, right? Anyway, I cannot. Speaking of Dream Lovers, Dennis Schroeder. What do we like to do against Denver? Attack Denver guards. Schroeder did that. I mean, he had like a 35 Fandle point first half. He was on pace to just put up a monster number. Ended up, I think, only close. I don't even think he had 50 Fandle points. I think he was close to that. But at his salary, which he's close to like 6K, he smashed value. 24 points, 10 assists. He was tremendous. Jeff Teague, the Indiana Teagues, 22 points, 14 assists versus Cleveland. I mean, God, Cleveland is just so bad defensively, especially at point guard and small forward. Almost any position, basically, but he was dancing circles around Kyrie in that game. I mean, man, there was no defense. It was amazing how little defense was being played in like three or four games on this slate. I mentioned Darren Collison. He was tremendous. He really was. I mean, man, without Cousins, now granted, they're going to be a different team because Cousins has like a 40% usage rate. But watching Collison get to really run that offense and be super aggressive, it was kind of fun to see. And he was really good. Kyle Korver, this is not going to happen again, but I knew without Shumpert, he was going to get some extra minutes, some extra shots. The thing was, he only played 26 minutes. He was 29 points, 8 threes, 5 assists. I think 8 for 9 from 3-point range. Like that's not going to happen again, but you know, it was a good spot and that game was just crazy. Will Barton, man, for Denver, he's had a couple of games now where he's went nuts. You know, they're dealing with some injuries. I mean, I think he started the second half for them, quite honestly, because I think Kenneth Freed's in like a walking boot. I think they started Barton in the second half, and he rewarded them. And he was about 5-6% owned in a lot of the FanDuel tournaments I saw. And he has 50 FanDuel point upside or DraftKings point upside. Melo was tremendous. He'll do that. He's a Magic Mountain guy. He'll have good games, bad games. The Knicks still lost, of course, because they lose every freaking game. But that was a game that was 0-0 defense as well, Knicks against Clippers. I mentioned Andrew Wiggins, him and Towns, the only two you can trust for Minnesota. Really good. Matt Barnes, again, I mean, he just continues to put up big numbers with the over 30 FanDuel points for him. Blake Griffin was tremendous. Blake was probably my favorite play on the slate against the Knicks. I mentioned on the show yesterday, there was just no one to defend him. And you know that game was 119-115 in terms of scoring. I think he had over 50 Fando points, and he was tremendous. Drummond against the Lakers, that was a pretty, you know, if you weren't going to punt with a Kufis or a Cauley-Stein, Drummond was the way to go. And he did what he should do against Lakers, just ate them alive, on the boards. I mentioned Willie Cauley-Stein. That was a big reason why I was able to make a lot of money on this slate, and he came through. He only had 9 minutes in the first half. And I think I was tweeting how I was pissed about it because we talk all the time about coaches are dream killers. Why Sacramento ever gives Kufis minutes over Willie Cauley-Stein, I will never understand. I mean, why not try to develop your young talent? I mean, he's clearly talented. Now, does he have the smartest basketball IQ? No, because if you watch that game, some of the shots he was taking were somewhat bizarre. But also, if you watch that game, you saw just how raw athletic – first of all, he's really raw in terms of athletic ability and in terms of his basketball skills. But he's more talented than I thought. I mean, he actually does have some game. He was posting up late in the fourth quarter and hitting like some a turnaround jumper. Now, some of that was Boston bigs. You could just destroy them. So Al Horford looked like a midget compared to Willie Cauley-Stein. And he is super athletic. But I was impressed when he was able to post up those guys and, you know, around 10, 12 feet away from the basket, put some nice moves on, on display. And just makes you wonder. That's why we could bring this guy who hosts the Sacramento podcast. Why doesn't he ever play? Because he can go 2-3 weeks getting like 5-10 minutes. Now lately he has been getting more minutes, but it's like if any game that they give Kufis a single minute to me is an utter waste. Lastly, Miami Heat, because they cannot lose, and it drives me nuts because I don't understand it. It makes no sense. They stink. They're horrible. I don't understand how a team with Dragic, Whiteside, James frickin' Johnson, Wayne Ellington, Babbitt, Magruder. It's unbelievable. They've won, 12, 13 straight now? So, yeah, they're dream lovers. All right. So we have a 5-game slate for Thursday. And let me tell you something. It's tricky. It's nasty. It's scary. You're going to have to do your research. You're going to have to be smart. There's a variety of factors that go into this. Also, you know, we have one disgusting game, which is Dallas. I think it's Dallas, Utah. Yes, Utah at Dallas with a 192 over under, which just makes me want to just cry, hide into a ball or crawl into a ball and hide and cry. And we also have Cleveland, who's going to rest LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, which puts that game, just makes it a walking trapdoor. So we got to be super careful on this plate. In terms of injury news, for Orlando, Jeff Green, looks like he became a father. Not sure if it's his first kid or whatever, but paternity issues. So I guess he's questionable. And Aaron Gordon is questionable. If those guys sit out, when I did this research, I almost kind of fell out of my couch, out of my chair. Bismack Biyombo gets a 5.1% usage bump with those two out, which, yeah, I'm not sure how much I trust that, but that's what the data shows. Evan Fournier gets a 2.6% usage bump. I do trust that one. Vucevic gets about a 2% usage bump. Interesting. And then Mario Hezonja gets a 5.5% usage bump. Not sure if he'll ever get minutes, but if he plays – on a 5-game slate, he would become an interesting tournament play. Joel Embiid still going to be out with that bone bruise. Cody Zeller, questionable with that quad contusion. If he's out, you got Frank Kaminsky still there. Maybe Plumlee gets some minutes. Now they have, you know, remember, there's a Zeller and a Plumlee on Charlotte. Yippee! How exciting is that? So we got Miles Plumlee in play on this slate. Then for Cleveland, not only are Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love probably going to rest, Shumpert's out. So, I did the data for you guys. When those guys sit, please sit down for this because this one's kind of scary. So, the people who get the usage bump, and remember, I don't know how much we can trust this because it's a small sample size. How often are all three of those guys resting and Shumpert? But Kay Felder gets a 16.2% usage rate, a bump in usage. That's otherworldly. Now, he does have some talent, so... Yeah, if he gets minutes and maybe – I'm not sure who – if he would start or just – I don't know. I mean, what kind of – what other starting lineup are they going to roll out there? I mean, they could start Jordan McRae at guard. They could start Felder or they could start Liggins. My guess would be they start Kay Felder and Liggins with McRae off the bench. And if they do, Kay Felder is a really good tournament play. 16.2% usage rate increase is pretty – crazy. Also, Richard Jefferson gets a 9.2% usage bump. He'll probably start, and he's probably going to be in play, obviously. Kyle Korver gets an 8% usage bump. Tristan Thompson gets a 1.5% usage bump. Now, the thing about him, be careful. The last time Cleveland rested all their guys, they did not rest Tristan Thompson on paper because he has like the Iron Man streak in the NBA going, so he's played, 600-800 straight games. So, he'll go, and he could very well just play the first minute, and then they might take him out and give him some rest too. So even though he's going to play, quote-unquote play, it may only be a minute or two. So I'd be scared as hell to use. I mean, I don't want to play the Trisket anyway, but I'd be scared, really scared to use him on this slate for that reason. And then Jordan McRae gets about a 1% usage bump as well. Andrew Bogut's also still out. And Darren Williams is still out with a toe sprain. So Yogi Bear is going to be in play for one more time at least. All right, let's turn over, take a quick trip to Vegas. So five games. We're still waiting for Philly-Orlando because of the injury news there. Now, normally, remember, the slate dictates what we do, right, guys? So on Wednesday, we were in New York because it was so many options, so many plays. Now, on this slate, it's five games, and you got the Cavs got resting. You have Utah-Dallas, a disgusting game. Philly-Orlando, quite honestly, if this was like a regular slate, that's probably a game you could fade. Here, on this slate, we're just not going to be able to. So, you know, we're not in New York anymore. We're also not in Wisconsin, not as bad as Wisconsin. We're like in, I'm trying to think of a right state to that we can use. Maybe Colorado, we're like somewhere like that. Not a horrific state, but also not a place with an abundance of options. And I did get some people who were hating on me saying that I was making fun of Wisconsin. No, I really wasn't making fun of Wisconsin. I'm just kind of stating the facts. Clearly, if you live in a state like that, in terms of dating, your options are a little bit limited, right? You have more options to choose from in New York. That's just facts. I'm from Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is actually pretty underrated. So people who were hating thought I was hating on Wisconsin. I really wasn't. It can get a little bit boring there, though, too, as well, in Wisconsin. All right, Houston, Charlotte. That's a very delicious game we can target, though. 224 over-under there. Houston's favored by 4. Boston, Portland. Yeah, there'll be zero defense being played there. Boston's going to be coming on a back-to-back. 220.5 over-under there. Cleveland, OKC. I don't know why there's already a line. OKC's favored by 1 point. And the over-under is 218. I'm not really sure where that line's coming from. So does Vegas already think that LeBron, Love, and Irvin are going to be out, and they still think OKC's only going to beat Cleveland by 1 point? To me, that's a bizarre line. I don't know. Is Vegas smoking crack right now? I'm not really sure. But that spread has to change, I think. Because obviously there's a massive blow-up potential. If Cleveland's resting, they're three best players. Utah, Dallas, 192 over-under. I would love to fade this game, but the fact that it's just a five-game slate, we're going to have to use guys here, especially in tournaments. Now, obviously, in cash games, if you want to fade that game, you still can do it, quite honestly. If you just want to go use Boston, if you want to go like 90% of your cash game lineup in Boston, Portland, and Houston, Charlotte, I'm on board with you. I might do that too. And I think that strategy could very well work. But in tournaments, I'm telling you, the people who take down tournaments, it's a good chance they could have two, three guys in that Utah-Dallas game. Pace, you know I love usage the most, and then I love Pace the second most. Actually, no, I take that back. The Bailiff, I love the Bailiff first. I love usage second, and then Pace third if I had to rank them. Teams playing up in pace. Charlotte playing way up in pace against Houston, and Cleveland playing up in pace against OKC. Orlando a little bit against Philly as well. But really, in terms of teams I look to attack out of those three, really Charlotte's the only one that I'm going to try to take advantage of. I think the Charlotte guys are a little underpriced for this slate. All right, let's hop into the plays. Now, it gets ugly fast, especially because Cleveland's, without Love, Irving, and LeBron, the freaking Cavs game gets disgusting. So, yeah, just be ready with me. I'm not trying to make you guys sick listening to these plays, but we gotta mention some names that normally we wouldn't want to mention. All right. Although we do have Westbrook and Harden. Now, normally, all right. So now you've been playing DFS a while. You should know, what is the judge's advice going to be with Westbrook and Harden on this slate? Let me hear you through the computer screen. I hear voices. Wrong. Some of you said fade them. No, my friends. I think on this slate, let's just lock and load them in cash games. Let's get them in there. Like, this is a slate where point guard is not great. Actually, point guard is still not bad. Out of all the positions, point guard is probably the best. Shooting guard, not great. And I think the opportunity cost of not using those guys could end up killing us. Now, let's find out as the show progresses if we can still build a legitimate cash game lineup with those both those guys in our cash games. Now, if I had to choose between using either Westbrook or Harden, I think Harden will be 100% when I'm using him in cash games. I cannot envision a scenario where he will not be in my cash game lineup. I'm just not going to risk it. That Houston-Charlotte game should stay close. And if it stays close, he's going to get me between 50 or 60. And this is a slate where I want raw number of points. Remember, the slate dictates what I do. I'm living in Colorado on this slate. I'm not in Wisconsin where there's no one to choose from. But I'm not in New York where there's an abundance of plays either. So I can't take – I want raw number of points. If I have to play a couple bums in order to get a couple stars, even if those bums have bad nights, I still think I'll be able to cash on this particular slate. So Harden's going to be locked for me. Now, Westbrook, I'm still not sure on if I want to use him in cash games. We'll go through the plays together. We'll kind of talk through it. Because there are two things that are going to have really nice nights. But if there's a way that we can – if there's enough value on the board and with all the Cleveland guys being out, there very well should be – that I do think that you can do both those guys in cash, and it's probably the smart move. The one downside would be if OKC destroys Cleveland really fast, and then Westbrook only plays 26 minutes. But even if he does that, he'll probably still get 50 FanDuel points. All right, so Isaiah Thomas is next. I'm just not going to pay 10.5K for Isaiah Thomas in a cash game, especially on a back-to-back. Now, I do love the fact it's Portland. Dame Judy Dench-Lillard is an atrocious defender. This is a nice game to game stack. So will I have a lineup of Isaiah Thomas and Lillard? Of course I will. But Lillard's $2,000 cheaper than Isaiah Thomas. And could Lillard give me more FanDuel points than Isaiah? Sure. Like, if I had to put the odds on that, I'd put him like 60-40. Isaiah gets more FanDuel points, but he's $2,000 cheaper. So, I think Dame's a better cash game play, and I like them both for tournaments. But Isaiah, I'm not going to pay that much for cash. Speaking of Lillard, mentioned him. One another reason why I do like him is that Isaiah Thomas is just atrocious defensively. He's 3'7" tall. He can't defend anyone. Darren Collison was abusing him. Everyone abuses him on the defensive end. So as good as he's been offensively, and the one thing you could say about Isaiah. Recency bias, right? Recency bias is a major thing in DFS. So one reason why what makes Isaiah even a better play on Thursday is because he struggled a little bit on Sacramento against Sacramento on Wednesday. Also, his last three games, he hasn't been great. So he's going to be low owned. So it makes Isaiah a pretty good tournament play. But cash games, no. Lillard's fine for any format on this slate. Kyrie Irving is going to be out. Kemba Walker, 7.5K. Another guy, he killed us against Brooklyn. If you guys, if you're listening to the show, you know I keep a spreadsheet. Guys coming off bad games. I put Isaiah Thomas on there to make him in one of my lineups for tomorrow. Kemba Walker destroyed us against Brooklyn. He's on my spreadsheet for a guy, somewhat of a star, coming off a bad night. That's a guy I want to target on Thursday in tournaments for sure because of recency bias. But that price and – because of the slate guides me. Now Charlotte playing way up in pace. I find it very hard to believe, even if it's against Patrick Beverley, that he's not going to give me a floor of 30 FanDuel points and I think a ceiling of around 40 or 50, unless he's dealing with an injury or something. So Kemba, safe for all formats. Now, if you want to go Kemba and Lillard as your two cash game point guards, I think that's okay to do. Kemba's 5K cheaper than Westbrook. I mean, Lillard's 4K cheaper. So if you use those guys, I think that's okay. Those guys could both, give you 5-6 times value. They're both in really good spots. So that's one reason why I could see fading Westbrook. And that's why in tournaments you absolutely can fade Westbrook on this slate. Alfred Payton, 6.3K. I don't like doing him in cash ever. And even though it's not a great slate, I still will not. His minutes have not been great. His production's all over the place. He's Magic Mountain. No, thank you. Tournaments, of course. Cash games, no. George Hill, he's been okay, but I'd prefer to look elsewhere. I mean, if you only have like around 6 left for your cash games, can you use him? Sure, of course. Then I think he'll stumble and bumble and fumble in around 20 to 25 FanDuel points, but I would try to find a way to get Kemba and Lillard. I think they just have much higher ceilings. But Hill should be okay. Now, normally I don't like his upside. I don't think he's a great tournament play. And also this Utah-Dallas game stinks. But remember, Dallas without Deron Williams is a little bit of a different team. With Yogi Bear and with Seth Curry, they do play at a little bit of a faster pace. So Hill is an intriguing tournament play as well. I don't love it. If this was 12 games, I would. If you played George Hill in a tournament, I'd come to your place. I'd hit you with my gavel over the head. On this slate, though, I'd just give you – I'd pat you on the head. I'd be like, I get it. I get it. I'm with you. It makes some sense. Yogi Bear, 5.7K. So he's going to get Utah defense, not stellar. Coming off a bad game against Portland, 17 fandom points. His really first bad game he's played. I don't love the play. He's still locked into a ton of minutes, though, so I think it's okay. You can do it. If I had to choose between him and Hill, quite honestly, it's pretty close. They're the same price. I mean, Yogi's going to get more minutes. Man, to me, it's really close. I guess I would – man. I probably would choose Yogi slightly because I think Yogi's going to have a little bit of a higher usage rate, but – if you ask me that again tomorrow, I may change my mind. They're to me, they're pretty close floors. And I think the ceilings are actually pretty similar too. Man, another reason why I just want to spend up and give me Kemba, give me Lillard, Isaiah, and Westbrook. Let me just deal with those four and avoid the mess at the bottom of shooting guard. Patrick Beverley, 5.6K. He finally hit 30 fandom points against Orlando I think it was 2 days ago. But before that, he hasn't given me 30 fandom points since January 18th, which is what, 3 weeks now? Is that a month? So I don't love Beverly. Now, remember, what guides us? Let me hear it. The slate guides us. So is Beverly okay for cash games? Sure. I think the Beverly, Farrell, Hill, if you want to use any of those guys in cash games, they're all – okay, they're all of them should stumble, bumble, and fumble into around 20 fandom points. So if you don't want to use Lillard and Kemba and you're worried about fading Westbrook, you want to go Westbrook and Beverly, totally fine. I get the rationale. You could do that for cash games or a tournament on this slate, quite honestly. TJ McConnell, 5.2K. Same thing. I feel the same way about McConnell, Beverly, Yogi, and George Hill. They're all going to stumble around 20 fandom points. I don't feel good about hitting that submit button, but they're all fine. For this slate, they're okay to do. Now, what are the pros going to do? They will play all of them. They won't make a decision. They will have one lineup with McConnell, Beverly, one with Farrell, one with Hill. They'll play every freaking one of those point guards between 5.2 and 6.1K. Now, most of us, especially if you play single entry tournaments, we're going to have to make some choices. So if I had to rank those four right now in like a single entry tournament, I would go George Hill, Yogi, Beverly, McConnell. That's how I'd rank them. But they're all close. Then you got some bums. Devin Harris, Dante Exum. I think Dante Exum actually played well on Wednesday. He had 21 Vanderbilt points. Remember, five games late, guys, so you can do crazy things. And then the sneaky ninja, who probably won't be a sneaky ninja by the time lineup lock hits, Kay Felder. By the way, isn't that like a jewelry store, Kay Felder? Isn't there a store? Like, I don't know. I feel like I can sing like the jingle for the commercials. But Kay Felder's 3.5K. Remember, he gets a 16% usage bump. You know, when he has played big minutes this year, which hasn't been very often, he played 22 minutes against New Orleans. He had 16 Fanduel points. Played 20 against Detroit. He had 19 Fanduel points. You know, so we don't have a huge sample size on him. So it's probably going to be tournaments only. But we might, you know, I'll do it in some tournaments if he's starting, or even if he's not starting. If all those guys from Cleveland are out, you figure what? He gets 20 minutes. And that's good enough to probably play. Especially if that allows me to get a Harden and a Westbrook. So shooting guard, Harden, just lock him in your cash game lineups. I also will have a great amount of exposure in tournaments to him as well. It's just, again, this late, opportunity cost, it's so risky to fade him. Now, in at least one or two tournament lineups, will I fade him? I will. because, as I mentioned, I think on 2 days ago on the podcast, when you know a guy's going to be 70, 80, 90% owned, if you're a tournament player, it's a great opportunity just to fade that guy and then hope he has a bad night and someone else, a CJ McCollum, a Nick Batum, goes nuts and can get somewhat close. And is that possible? Yeah. Is it likely on this slate? Probably not. Speaking of CJ McCollum, though, he's 8.2K. It's Boston. Fine matchup. I don't love this play. I like Dame a lot better against Boston. But McCollum's fine. I also prefer Batum. Batum's 7.7K. Batum's going to get probably James Harden defense. So Batum is in an elite spot. Quite honestly, I just want to lock in Harden and Batum in my cash game shooting guard and move on. Oladipo, more of a tournament play for me, 6.4K. Now, if you don't have enough to get to Batum and you already use Harden, I can see the case where Oladipo could become a cash game play on this slate. He's going to give you 35-plus minutes. So I do think if this game can somewhat stay close, he'll find a way to give you 20 to 30 Vando points, and that might be enough. But for me, it's going to mostly a tournament play on this slate. Wes Matthews. So it's funny because the Dallas guys, their salary, Seth Curry was more expensive than Seth Curry. Had a bad game, got injured. So their price is kind of flipped. Now Wes Matthews is more expensive. Wes is 5.8K and Seth is 5.3K. As long as Seth Curry is healthy, I'll take Seth Curry. So I think Seth Curry, safer floor. But the floor is pretty similar. So you can make a case for in cash games, play Wes Matthews. But in tournaments, I'd prefer Curry. I think Curry's got a higher ceiling, a higher usage rate. He's going to take more shots as long as he's healthy because he did bang up his shoulder last game. But remember, Dallas is playing Utah, so I don't love either of those guys. Marcus Smart, 5.6K. He's still getting around 30 minutes a game. You probably haven't been playing him because really no one has. I think I played him I didn't play him on Wednesday, but I played him the two nights before that, and his ownership was so, so low. He's getting you between 20 and 30. So for this slate, and now he gets CJ McCollum defense, who that's basically non-existent defense. So I think he's a safer play than Oladipo, quite honestly. And he's $800 cheaper. So I don't mind him, quite honestly, for any format on this slate. I don't love the play, but I think it's fine for any format. I think he's going to find a way to give you between 20 and 30. And that might be enough. And do I like him against Portland better than Wes Matthews against Utah? For cash games, I actually do. So Marcus Smart is fine for all formats. Eric Gordon's tournaments only. This is a slate where you can do the Harden-Gordon combo. You really can. And you hope that Gordon makes a lot of threes and Harden gets a lot of the assists. And it's a nice way to differentiate. No one wants to play two players on the same team at the same position. Evan Fournier, love this play for this slate. He's not been that great, but he's 5.4K. Shooting guards, it's a minefield, it's a disaster. I'm not in love with any of the guys I just mentioned. If I can't get Batum, I don't have the money, I would have no issue using Fournier on this slate for any format. I think he's relatively safe for cash games, and he's got some upside for tournaments too. And remember, with Aaron Gordon out, probably, and Jeff Green out, he sees a nice, almost 3% usage bump. So Fournier, really good play if you can't afford Batum. Mentioned Seth Curry, probably tournaments only for me because it is Utah, but he's in play. He could be in the winning GPP lineup. Jeremy Lamb, 4.6K, he's intriguing. He looks really good, actually, on Wednesday against Brooklyn. The problem is minutes. He never gets enough minutes. He had 27 Fando points, only played 19 minutes, though, so it's hard to play him because of the minutes. Tournaments, though, maybe. Then you got Kyle Korver. If he's playing, he's going to be in play, 3.7K. But because of recency bias, he's going to be too highly owned. But, yeah, I don't mind that play for any format you want. And Jordan McRae, he's going to be in play. I think he got 30 minutes against Dallas a few weeks ago, only 12 Fando points though. But against Chicago earlier this year, he had 33 minutes and got 30 Fando points. Against Charlotte, he had 31 minutes at 26 Fando points. So he does have a lot of skill, a lot of upside. If you watch the Cleveland play in the summer league, and which I sadly did, he was one of their best players. There was actually talk that Cleveland was not going to sign J.R. Smith. And if they didn't, they would just start McRae. McRae's pretty similar to J.R. Smith. If he gets hot, he can hit 7-8 threes. So he's a really interesting play. I think he's going to get into close to 30 minutes. So let's wait and see if he starts, but he might be safe for all formats. And then I mentioned Mario Hezonja. If he can get minutes, and we'll have to watch the news on this, he's an intriguing play because he does get a monster usage bump without Jeff Green. Although just so far, Jeff Vogel has been really hesitant to play him. All right, small forward. Small forward's been a mess. It's a mess on this slate because without LeBron, the top guy you got is Gordon Hayward at 8K, and Gordon Hayward against Dallas. Now, Gordon Hayward's had some good games, so he's overpriced for this matchup, and I don't want to pay 8K for this guy, and I'm not going to do it in cash games. Now, can you do it in a tournament? Of course. You can do anything in a tournament. You can play two or three Plumlees, for God's sake, in tournaments. But Gordon Hayward in cash games, on this slate, I will not do it. Jay Crowder, 6.5K. He's still a little pricey for me. And this is a good example of where slate dictates what I do. If this was on Wednesday, I would not have used him in cash. On Thursday, I think he's okay for cash. Slate dictates what I do. So I don't love the play. I do think it's relatively safe, though. He's coming off a bad night against Sacramento, but I'm going to chalk that up to just one of those nights. I also like, remember, recency bias. So I like targeting guys who are coming off of bad nights. He'll bounce back. He'll be fine. He'll stumble between 25 and 30 Fando points for us. Harrison Barnes, 6.4K. This one's a little tricky. Normally, I love this cash game play as well. I love Barnes for cash games. Utah, I do not like. So we have, basically two conflicting worlds colliding here with Harrison Barnes. But that basically sums up this slate. It's basically colliding worlds, colliding universes. And then you have to compare between him and Crowder probably if you're probably deciding, making choices, unlike the guys who are playing 150 lineups in every game, in every contest. I can make an argument for either. Barnes is a much higher usage rate than Crowder, but Crowder is in a much faster paced game, a better game. So to me, because I like usage over pace, I would probably still go Barnes and cash over Crowder, but it's close. Covington, 5.8K. Tournaments only. I don't trust him for cash games. Man, as I say that, get back to me tomorrow on that one. I think he's an elite tournament play. Small forward's really bad. So I love him for tournaments. I love him for single entry tournaments. Now, the question we're going to have to figure out is do we think who's safer between Crowder, Barnes, and Covington? I still think Barnes and Crowder are a little bit safer, but Covington's not as far away from those guys as you would think. I mean, Covington used to be a Magic Mountain guy. I don't know if he's still at Magic Mountain. Now I think he may be at Magic Mountain, but he's the entrance is? He's waiting in line. And we have to make the decision, do we let him into Magic Mountain or not? And I'm not sure he belongs in there right now. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. MKG, 5.5K. A poor man's version of Otto Porter without a usage rate. Playing up in pace against Houston, so it makes some sense. Although, we saw what happened when you play a guy like a Kelly Oubre. It can be painful. Trevor Ariza, tournaments only. But I don't mind the Harden Ariza play. If you look, I was reading an article about which player has the most assists for certain teammates. God, why can I see? This is the problem when you do podcasts after 5 in the morning. I cannot articulate my thoughts properly. The article was basically about, LeBron, out of Kevin Love's 150 three-pointers, LeBron has assisted on 37% of those or something like that. Which is tops in the NBA. And who was number two? It was James Harden. James Harden assisting to Trevor Ariza. And then number three, it was James Harden assisting to Ryan Anderson. And that's one reason I always talk about. I like lineups with Harden and Ariza, Harden and Anderson, because it makes sense to use those two together. Because if Ariza is going to get the three, might as well give me the 1.5 FanDuel or DraftKings points for James Harden assists as well. And if they're both, and if Ariza makes 7-8 threes, That's how you can take down a GPP. So on a slate like this, it makes sense to me to do in tournaments. Then after that, it gets nasty fast. Then you got Roberson, Bellinelli, Jaylen Brown. I mean, Jaylen Brown still starts, and he still gets some minutes, and he's 3.8K. And that makes him, on this slate, he's going to be in play for me. Joe Ingles, Jeremiah Grant. Oh, God. I mean, yeah. And then Richard Jefferson. I mean, Richard Jefferson is a pretty good play on this slate. He's 75 years old, but he'll probably get 25 minutes, if not more. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still a little nervous about what Ty Lue's going to do, because the last time he rested LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, his rotation was an absolute mess. So, I mean, I don't think anyone hit value. I think Fry was bad. RJ was bad. It was a disaster. So I'm still a little nervous about all the Cleveland guys, but I think Rich Jefferson should be okay. Because let's face it, if Ty Lue wants to rest guys, shouldn't you rest someone like Richard Jefferson? He's the oldest guy on the freaking team. So it doesn't make sense to me. Well, give him some rest. Power forward, it's disgusting. So Serge Ibaka is the top guy at 6K. And yeah, he's like a really good cash game play for this slate. So, I mean, yeah, that's how bad this slate is at power forward. Dirk Nowitzki, 5.6K. Can you use him in any format? Yeah, you can. He's coming off the best game he's had in like 17 years because he's 114 years old. He had almost 40 FanDuel points against Portland. It's not a back-to-back. So even though Dirk gets Utah, Dirk's basically match-proof. No one's going to block. Derek Favors is not going to block his fadeaway, you know, jump shot. So he's fine. I don't think he's not in a great spot, obviously, but I mean, who else do you want to play? So I think he's okay. Ersan Ilyasova, you know, I get him wrong all the time, although I got him right on Wednesday. I faded him completely against the Spurs, and he put up 20 FanDuel points, so that's not that great. Against Orlando, whatever. He's fine. He's okay. Nerlens Noel, this is sad. He was, you know, he was like the flavor of the week, right? Was that a week ago? Less than a week ago? I mean, we were loving life, right? We were playing Noel. We couldn't hit the submit button fast enough on Noel. Now he's like untouchable. That's what's so crazy about DFS, man. In like 1 week, the entire freaking universe changes. So Noel, I'm not going to touch him at 5.4K. Aminu, 5.4K as well. Oh, God. Speaking of a guy like Kelly Oubre, who has no usage rate, I don't like playing him. If you want to do it in cash games, I guess it's okay. I probably won't, though, because I like someone who actually touches the ball like once a quarter. Then you got Marvin Williams, who I think is actually a really good play. With all the Charlotte bigs banged up, he's going to get 30-plus minutes, and he's been pretty good the last – two or three games. His price is fair. Charlotte playing way up in pace. I really do love the Charlotte guys. I almost think every Charlotte guy's in play. If you had like three or four Charlotte guys in your cash game lineups, I think it's totally fine. So Marvin Williams, I'm putting him in my cash game right now. Yeah, I really like the play. Then you got Frank the Tank. I mean, you can do Frank the Tank and Marvin Williams as your two cash game power forwards. I have no issues with that whatsoever. Frank, he's been really good. They're playing him. I don't understand. He should have been playing the center position all year long anyway. I don't know why Charlotte's just only starting to play him at the five now. He's had three straight really good games, and he should get big minutes again as long as Zeller is out. He's going to present problems for Houston because he can take Clint Capella on the perimeter. That's a tough matchup for Capella, for Harrell, for Nene, whoever plays. And I think he's in a really good spot. I love that play. Save for all formats on this slate. Ryan Anderson, man. So his price, his price goes between 4.8K and 6K so freaking fast. Another guy, a week ago, we're loving it. Then he's 6K, we're hating it. He gives you between 3 and 40 FanDuel points. Tournament play only, but at that price, he's an elite tournament play. Man. Like he can give you 40, he can give you 9-10 times value. So give me Kaminsky in cash, but for tournaments, actually I probably prefer Kaminsky in tournaments too. But I think Anderson's an elite tournament play in this slate. Then you got Saris. You got hashtag French Fry. He's a tough guy to figure out. Again, if Ty Lue is resting his older guys, you would think he would also rest Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye a little bit. Why play those guys? If they're already going to lose the game as well, I would rest all of his older guys on this slate. So that's why it makes guys like Channing Frye, to me, I'm a little nervous to play him. Then you got Dwight Powell. And that's about it. Power forward. All right, center. Rudy Gobert, 8K. Center's okay, not horrible, but also not great. Dallas, really bad rebounding. So I think Rudy Gobert is very safe for cash. If you can have the money, you can play him. You can play him any format you want, quite honestly. Al Horford, 7.6K. You can make a living attacking Portland in almost any position these days. They give up the fourth most FanDuel points to opposing centers. So even though Al Horford's really a power forward, especially if you watch him play on Wednesday, Cauley Stein was abusing him in the fourth quarter. But Horford's in a good spot, and I'd rather have Gobert in cash games, but not by much, because the pace of the Boston-Portland game is going to be a lot better. And Al Horford's – I probably will have the same exact lineup. One of them I will use Gobert, one Horford, and also one Vucevic, because Vucevic's the next guy, 7.4K. Quite honestly, out of those three, I think Vucevic could have the highest upside. He's probably my favorite tournament play out of those three. He gets Philly. If you've been watching centers attack Philly lately, it's been embarrassing. Like rebounding, they can't get a rebound to save their freaking life. One of the reasons is because you have the dildo Okafor starting. And my apologies to using the D word, but it's 5:30 in the morning, and I hate Okafor. He's so bad. He can't move. He's so slow. He's unathletic. He can't get off his shot. He can't rebound. He doesn't box out. He's a tin man. I love Vucevic. Safe for all formats on this slate. Plum Dog. Mason Plumlee is just too freaking expensive for me. 6.8K, and I don't want to pay that for him. Then I see the matchup, and he gets freaking Boston. Willie Cauley-Stein destroyed Boston. Everyone can destroy Boston. They're really bad defensively. Al Horford's a power forward. So I still think he's too expensive. I still prefer Gobert. I prefer Vucevic. But Plumlee, because of the slate, it's not a horrible play. So I get the rationale if you want to use him. Steven Adams, 6.1K. The blowout worries me. OKC should destroy Cleveland. Otherwise, I would say Adams is a nice, safe play on this slate. But I don't know how safe he is. So if that game stayed close, sure. Otherwise, I don't know how much exposure I'll have to him. The Triscuit, remember, I really do think he's going to play like 1 minute. So, and he tastes like a Triscuit. So I'm not playing a freaking Triscuit on this slate. Clint Capella, 5.2K. I love it. Much as I love Charlotte, I also love attacking Charlotte Biggs. So Capella, safe for all formats on this slate. He's looked pretty good lately. So I think the price is fair. And also, if I want, remember, I'm trying to get Westbrook and Harden into my cash game lineups. So play Capella, Kaminsky, Marvin Williams. That allows you to do it. So I like Clint Capella. Now Okafor is down there as well, 4.6K. As much as I hate him, he's also in play, and I think he's safe for all formats. And he gets Vucevic defense. Vucevic's one of the worst defenders in the NBA. At any position, especially center. So I think Okafor and Capella are both safe for all formats. And yeah, I like them both. And again, if you can play Okafor, and if that allows you to get a Westbrook and a Harden, I think it's fine to do. And that's about it. Yeah. So I'll mention Miles Plumlee. There, I mentioned him. He's 3.5K. He's getting between 15 and 20 minutes. Is that enough? Probably not. But it's a 5-game slate. You could get crazy if you want. All right, that's it. We made it through the show. Man, it's fucking 5:30 in the morning. I'm exhausted. Got to get to bed. It was a glorious Wednesday night. I hope you – yeah, I heard from a lot of others, people who play Chambers, just who have been following me, listening to the show. Some of you guys also made a ton of money as well on Wednesday. So congrats. I'm very proud of all of you. I salute you. And let's do it again on Thursday. It was a fun night Wednesday. Let's keep the run going. It's going to be a crazy slate, so I'd recommend playing a little bit lighter than you normally do. Yeah, and for me and the bailiff, that's it. If you have any questions, tweet me at Daniel A. Green 1. Otherwise, court is adjourned.